Amen. If you got your Bibles, we're going to be turning to the book of Luke.
Bless you, Lord.
Book of Luke, chapter number 23. We're going to begin our reading in verse number 33. It says, "And when they came, and when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. And the malefactors, one on the right hand, and one on the other on the left, then saith Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots." Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the opportunity to be here, Lord. God, I pray that you touch and help me, God, Lord, to say exactly what you want me to say, God. Lord, I pray, God, that you'd be here and help us, Lord, to fill your spirit, Lord. We thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Here we're going to be looking at the first saying that Jesus says while he's on the cross. We're going to be looking and learning from this what he's saying here. Throughout the Bible, we can see lots of examples of what Jesus, that we can take from what Jesus has done and we can apply to us. And this is no exception. First, we're going to see Jesus' sincerity. He meant what he said here. What he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He wasn't just saying that. He meant it. Amen. Amen. I'm glad he meant it because it was proved on Pentecost when 3,000 were saved. Amen. 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 I'm glad God said forgive them because I was nothing. I was unworthy. But right. God said forgive them. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Next, we can see that we can see his suffering. Jesus had just been nailed to the cross. Amen. He was in pain, lots of pain. But what did he do? It said he prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He prayed, amen? And even if throughout the Bible we can see multiple people who's going through tough times and they pray and pray. Jesus is setting an example here. When we're going through hard times, when we're having troubles and trials, we can pray, amen, because Jesus has been there. He knows what it's like to suffer through times and to pray through things like that, amen. Next, we see his selflessness. Out of all the things God could have done while he was on the cross, he prayed. The first thing he did was pray for his enemies, amen. Yeah. It shows his selflessness. He sets an example for us. He says an example of prayer, amen. He says we need to pray. Amen. The first thing he did while he was on the cross is he prayed. Amen. The next example we see is an example of love. Amen. He prayed for his enemies because he loved them. Amen. And Matthew 5:44, it says, "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, and do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." Amen. God is saying we need to pray for our enemies. He's setting an example here. I'm glad God didn't just say pray for your enemies, but he never did. Amen. He prayed for his enemies. He's setting an example. Amen. Next, we see God's sovereignty. Amen. God said, forgive them.
Amen.
He didn't say, Father, forgive me. Because God's perfect. Amen. Amen. This shows how perfect God was. It shows his deity. It shows that he's lived a sinless life. There's nothing to be forgiven of for him because he's lived a perfect sinless life. Yes. Amen. Amen. He said, Father, forgive them, not Father, forgive me.
Amen.
Because God has lived a perfect sinless life. Thankful that I serve a Savior who lived a perfect and sinful life. Amen. I don't serve a God who messed up a lot. I serve a God who is perfect and is sovereign and who rules the earth and who created the earth. Amen. Next, we'll see his schedule. God has never stopped praying for us. Amen. God prays for us and he never stops. Amen. In John 17:20, it says, "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word." I'm glad God is praying for me. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. When I feel like no one else is praying for me, I'm glad there's one that is always praying for me.
Amen.
Amen. Also in Romans 8:34, it says, "Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even on the right hand of God, who is also making intercession for us." Amen. God is always praying for us and he never stops. No matter what we're going through, what we're doing, no matter where we're at in our lives, God is praying for us, amen? And I'm glad when I'm going through life and I feel like I'm so low and God, and I feel like there's nobody around and nobody there to help me out. God is there for me. And He's always there. Amen. Jesus is praying for us. Amen. And I'm glad He never stopped.
Amen.
And He's always going to be there for us. No matter what we're going through, no matter what we're facing, God is there for us and He is praying for us.
Amen.
So we see that God, we see His sincerity, we see His suffering, we see His selflessness, His sovereignty, and His schedule. I'm glad I serve a God who is perfect in every way, who's praying for me and will never stop praying for me. No matter where what I'm going through, no matter what's going on, I have a Lord that's perfect and who is praying for me.
Amen. Come on, Colt.
Verse 43, it says, "And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise."
Yeah.
Let's pray real quick. Your Father, we thank you for the day, God. Thank you for Easter, God. Lord, what it means to us as Christians, as saved, born-again believers. God, Lord, we just pray for the next few moments. God, you'll touch our lips and our mind. Lord, that we be a blessing unto the people this morning. Lord, that we may get stirred up, God, this morning, Lord, by being put in remembrance. We'll thank you and we'll praise you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. As we find our place in the text here, we know that this is the point where Jesus is having the conversation with one of the two malefactors that was crucified beside him, one on the left and one on the right. And so if we get in there, it says, "Verily I say unto thee," meaning truly I say unto thee. And I looked in that, we look at truly. We know that according to the scripture that God cannot tell a lie. The Bible says in Titus 1:2, "In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began." So we know that He's making a true statement unto the one malefactor that's with Him on the cross, beside Him on the cross here. I also like, I want to look at this, is "today shalt thou be with me in paradise." I got thinking about that, and it's funny you said a schedule, Gabe. He had a schedule for him, and he meant today.
Right.
He didn't mean yesterday, didn't mean tomorrow, a week down the road, or a year or two coming. He meant that very day that he would be with him in paradise. It means this very day, if you look what that means. I began to think about that thief here in this context. It says, "And one of the malefactors that was hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss."
That's right.
"And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." I got thinking about that malefactor. We know that according to Matthew, I believe it says there in Matthew, that they were thieves. And I wondered about how we look at thieves. I thought about that message that got preached a couple weeks ago on a Thursday. He started talking about looking at other people,
right,
how you look at other people. I wonder, they were thieves and everybody else looked down on them because they were being crucified.
Right.
They looked at him as nothing more than a thief.
Right.
But that same Jesus that was being crucified seen him as somebody that was a sinner need of saving.
Yeah.
There it says, "Lord, remember me." I believe he got to that point that shows us again how personal salvation is.
Yeah.
That it is a whosoever salvation. Yeah. If he could save an old thief that was dying on the cross,
right,
I understand here. I know a lot of people don't believe in a deathbed confession,
right,
but I believe this blows that out of the water here because he was on the brink of death. He was moments away from his last breath on this earth. And the last words that I see there is, "Lord, remember me." And I got thinking about that conversation. We know one was on the left and one was on the right, that they would have been having that conversation back and forth between the thieves. But I got thinking about when he had said, "Lord, remember me." I got thinking about what he had whispered it.
Right.
I don't think he had whispered it. Yeah. I think he had been to that point that he had been in such agony. We know he was suffering the same punishment there as Christ. He was crucified. But we see there that I believe that he had been shouting it. I believe he had been to that point that he had been saying, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." Not a kingdom, but thy kingdom.
Right.
We see a perfect plan of salvation right here. we see that he's come to the realization of who he is, that he's a sinner. He says, I know I've got what's coming to me. He said, I know I'm a sinner. He says, I know that we're just receiving what we deserve. What we deserve. And it'd do us good every once in a while to realize what we really deserved. And it ain't heaven, I can promise you that. We don't. I know I definitely don't deserve heaven. But I thank God he set it up that I can. I got thinking about Warren Wiersbe is talking about the faith of this man. The faith of that thief there. That he said he's watching a man dying. He sees a dying man asking him for salvation. You see the faith there that was put forth by that thief. But I also thought about how this throws at all these other ideologies. I got thinking about that work salvation. That work salvation that I tried to get through with for a long time. We see that don't work here. He needed to be saved. Amen. And we see there that he didn't have nothing to bring to the Lord. He didn't have a thing to bring to the Lord. All he had was his sin and his shame. But amen, that was just enough. All he needed was some repentance to realize who he was, but more importantly, who Christ was and what he was in need of. I thought, thinking about that purgatory, I'm glad there that there ain't no purgatory that I've got to go to, that I ain't got to be counting on somebody else to pray me through, to get me through, or try to get me out. Because the Bible says, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. We go into Scripture there, it says, today is the day of salvation. That he's got things on a schedule, Brother Gabe, and today is the day. Again, if you ain't saved, amen, here's a perfect outline of salvation, realizing who you are, what you're in need of, but more importantly, who he is, that he's the thrice holy Savior, that he sits upon that throne, that he's willing to save anybody that will call upon his name.
That's right. Amen. Who had three?
Amen. If you got your Bibles, go to John 19.
Bless.
John 19, we're going to begin reading in verse number 26. It says, when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. And he saith, he